This is the Epilogue audio experience.
COVID-19 has changed this world, and it changed the world of CXOPay. In India, every major index is down. The stock markets are declining at this point in time. The BSE index, the Nifty, and every major industry index is down. And this has happened over just about 3 to 4 weeks. Welcome to Season 2 of the Salary Stories, Episode 1. CXOPay, Underwater Options. This value decline reflects the market's rather sober outlook and the significant changes that companies will have to face as they recover from the impact of COVID. Anytime there is a sharp decline in stock market value, employees can see their equity compensation stock options lose value and sometimes become worthless, at which point they are called as underwater options. Many global and Indian companies had to deal with underwater options in the aftermath of the dot-com bubble, the global financial crisis, and different countries have seen different kinds of crises in their lifetimes. Given the current steep stock market declines, I'm afraid many of them will have to deal with this issue right now. Let's discuss more on this with Kumar. Kumar Subramaniam is partner and practice leader, executive compensation and governance, Asia Pacific and Middle East at Aon. So Kumar, simply put, can you clarify what are underwater options?
Sure, Sushil.
As most HR practitioners would be aware, stock options provide the right, but not the obligation, to an employee to purchase the share of the company at a predetermined price.
This price is commonly called as the strike price or the exercise price. So as an illustration, let's say that the current share price of a company, and let's call this company X, is rupees 100. And the company awards its employees stock options at the strike price of rupees 100, which is equal to the current market price of the company. Additionally, let's also say that the options have a vesting period of 2 years, and the total term of the option is 5 years from the date of grant. That means that after 2 years, assuming the employee stays in the company, he can buy shares of the company at rupees 100, and that right is available to him over the next 3 years. After vesting, let's say if the market price of the company increases to, let's say, rupees 150, then the option is worth rupees 50. This is because the employee can purchase the share at rupees 100 and can sell it at rupees 150 in the secondary market, thus netting a gain of rupees 50 pre-taxes.
Interesting. But Kumar, that's the good stuff. And here we're dealing with stock market declines, aren't we?
Correct, Sushil. So let's take another scenario where the share price of the company declines to rupees 80 by the time the stock option vests with the employee. Then the option has no worth to the employee because it will make no economic sense to purchase an asset at rupees 100 when the current market price of the asset is only rupees 80. If the share price continues to be below the exercise price for some time, then these options have no value to the employee and they become underwater.
Right. So what negative impact do underwater options have on the organization?
Clearly, underwater options have a significant bearing on employee morale, as you would appreciate, Sushil. And more so in India, equity-based compensation has risen significantly during the last decade, and in particular, across senior management stakeholders within the firm. If you look at large companies in India, large cap companies, at the CXO level, long-term incentives account for as much as 30 to 40% of their total compensation. So organizations that have awarded stock options as their preferred long-term vehicle risk erosion of a significant sum of value awarded to the employee. Needless to say, this will impact employee motivation.
Right, I get that. But what is the impact on the company?
Underwater stock options are also an uneconomical proposition to the company. Accounting standards in many countries including India, require the cost of stock options to be accrued as an expense item in the company's P&L. So when stock options become underwater, companies cannot reverse the expense that has been accrued. So in a sense, it's a sunk cost. This is the standard accounting treatment for equity-based compensation with market-based performance conditions. And employee stock options fall under that category. So in an underwater scenario, we end up with a situation where the company incurs full cost of the options, but the employee sees zero personal wealth. So I would say that's a rather undesirable outcome, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. So Kumar, so when stock options become underwater, is that like the dead end? And no pun intended, but are there options on the table?
The short answer, Sushil, is yes. After the global financial crisis, many companies replaced their stock option programs with restricted share units or performance share units to mitigate the risk of value loss to employees. Restricted share units are often called as RSUs, and performance share units are also called as PSUs. So let me illustrate how RSUs work using my earlier example of this company, whose share price was 100 rupees at the time of the award. Instead of awarding stock options at the current market price of rupees 100, let's say the company sets the exercise price at rupees 10, which is the face value of the share. In such a case, the chances of the award becoming underwater are quite slim, because the probability that the share price will go below rupees 10 is quite low. So RSUs can still be motivating to an employee, even in the case of stock market downturns.
Okay. I'm not the expert in this, but it seemed to me that RSUs sound like deep discounted stock options. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right, Sushil. In India and a few other markets, they are structured as deep discounted employee stock options. In many other markets like US, UK, Singapore, Australia, RSUs are awarded free of cost to the employee. But perhaps that's a nuance that we can park for another conversation.
Absolutely. So now that we understand a bit on how RSUs work, but I see no accountability to share price increase, unlike options. So can they not be considered as, you know, free lunch?
It's a great question, Sushil. We would not recommend giving RSUs without any performance conditions, particularly for senior management. Rather, we would advise companies to consider a variant of RSUs called PSUs, or performance share units, as I mentioned earlier. So like RSUs, PSUs are awarded at face value or par value, but they vest only if certain performance conditions are met in the future. So let's revisit this example of this company X. And let's say if we grant a PSU to a senior management employee at an exercise price of rupees 10, but add a condition to say that the PSU would vest only if the firm grows its profit by 20% over prior year. Alternatively, I could also add another performance condition stating that the awards will vest only if my shareholder returns are better than the industry. In that case, the awards can vest even in a declining market, since the performance is relative and not absolute.
Hmm. So I have a question on this. So if PSUs or RSUs were so intuitive, why did Indian companies not move away, en masse from stock options after the global financial crisis?
Again, a great question, Sushil. Unfortunately, the accounting standards for equity-based compensation in India caught up with global standards only by the financial year 2017. Until that time, companies did not have to accrue expenses on employee stock options as long as the exercise price was equal to the share price on the date of the award. In contrast, they had to incur an expense for RSUs and PSUs. So that provided an accounting cost subsidy of sorts to companies, if I may use the word, when they issued stock options as opposed to RSUs and PSUs.
So Kumar, does that mean that companies that have a stock option program where awards have become underwater have no recourse but to develop, say, a new LTI program comprising of RSUs and PSUs now?
Not necessarily. There are other workarounds possible as well. For instance, companies can cancel the already issued options and award new options at the current market price. Or perhaps they could award at a slight premium to the current market price, since the price may have bottomed out already. Alternatively, you could consider a tender offer where employees can exchange their unexercised underwater options for new options at the revised price. In addition to a few that I mentioned now, there are a few other alternatives that could be considered as well.
Okay. So if there are multiple alternatives, how do companies make the choice on the optimal course of action?
There are several considerations, Sushil. So companies firstly need to understand the impact on employee morale. Secondly, they also need to get a good understanding of the additional equity dilution for the shareholders. And shareholders may not often be comfortable with that. And importantly, if companies have to go back to the shareholders to secure approval for the new plan, then it's important for them to understand how to sell the narrative so that it's not perceived as a poor corporate governance practice by the company. And last but not the least, companies also need to get a good fix on the incremental cost of the program, because every penny during difficult times is going to pinch. So in a nutshell, there is no one-size-fits-all answer to these questions. There are trade-offs involved, as you will appreciate, which remuneration committees and HR leaders need to carefully weigh.
Right. And I guess these are tough times and there are multiple trade-offs across different levels of salaries that have been discussed today. So are there any key points that you want to leave our listeners with?
I would say that boards and HR leaders that are dealing with underwater options as a current issue should appreciate that there are multiple solution alternatives. And each alternative has different consequences in terms of employee motivation, incremental cost to the company, and shareholder optics. So analyzing the choices thoroughly in terms of pros and cons and finding an optimal solution will be quite critical for them.
Thank you, Kumar, for sharing with us perspectives on underwater options. COVID-19 continues to unravel, and with that, a lot of stress and a lot of tough decisions are coming our way as organizations. As we move forward in this series, do stay tuned for more discussions with our experts on practices, perspectives, frameworks, and options that you could look at as you start to make more tougher decisions and look at these turbulent times. Thank you very much.